Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the cross of Christ. What a blessing. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Some time ago, just I think in the 1st of November, we started a series on why we do what we do as a church. And it basically boils down to it's because of what we believe, what we believe. And, of course, every year, the beginning of the year, we have election of officers. And as the election of officers, one of the things every officer has to be in agreement on is the articles of faith. They believe what we believe as a church. And we basically believe the Bible. And we just look to the Word of God for His directions on how we live our lives and how we conduct services and everything that we do. And so basically, why we do what we do is based upon the Word of God. And that's the first message we preached on that, is everything is based upon God's Word, and God's Word is the final authority in the church. It's not the authority of the pastor. It's not the authority of the board of deacons. It's not authority of even the congregational. If we want the hand of God upon the church, Jesus Christ must have the preeminence in the church. If it's His church, He has to be the head of the church. And so in order for Him to be the head of the church, He has to have the final authority. And what represents Christ for us today is the very words of God. And basically, not only the Old Testament, but what Jesus came and revealed concerning the teachings of the Old Testament and now new and living way as established in the New Testament. And so that's what we look to. We look to the Word of God, and based upon the Scriptures is why we do what we do as a church. The Bible is the final authority in His church. We have then preached on why independent fundamental Baptist. From time to time, you'll have people ask you, what kind of church you go to? Baptist. What kind of Baptist? And because there's 101 different types of Baptists. what we are is independent fundamental Baptist. And why? Well, I tell people it's the Bible that makes me Baptist. It's the Bible that makes me independent. And it's the Bible that makes me fundamental. Fundamental is somewhat of the world's trying to make that a bad word today. And because it associates itself with a lot of weirdos. And that's the world doing that. That's not the church, and that's not the Bible. Fundamental just means we believe basically God means what He says, and He says what He means. We believe the literal writings, interpretation of the Scriptures. The fundamental truths of the Bible. Something that this great nation was built upon. The fundamentals of the Word of God. Our Constitution, our laws, everything about our government was established based upon the laws of God. And so that's why we're still holding on to that. We're independent, fundamental, and we're Baptist. So we taught on that. We preached on and taught on why we have preaching in the church. Preacher, why don't we just have preaching Sunday mornings and then just have other types of things going on whenever we meet other times? And we can have just Bible studies and coffee shop, you know, get-togethers and on and on and on. And you say, well, I know a lot of churches that are doing that today, and they just cancel their evening services. They don't have Wednesday night services. They have one combined service and all the different things. And the trends today, we don't let the trends determine what we do as a church. And I think it has been established and very effective for God's church to meet as we meet three times a week. We meet Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And Sunday is the Lord's Day. All day on Sunday is the Lord's Day. And Wednesday, that's nothing the Bible says you need to meet on Wednesday, but it says so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Not only do we have a Wednesday night service, I tell people, and jokingly, but really not, it might come down to at some point we might need to have two midweek services just to be able to stay encouraged and having the things of God in our forefront. And so, but a Wednesday midweek service gives the church an opportunity to pray together, gives the church an opportunity to continue to study the Word of God. We cannot learn too much of the Word of God. And so we have a Wednesday night Bible study and prayer time. And so we preach because you can get, first of all, it's God's plan. That's what John the Baptist, the forerunner, came doing, preaching repentance and turning to God and Jesus Christ and establishing his ministry, preach repentance and a turning to God. And the church has continued to preach the very same things and preach the words that God has given to us. So we preach in all of our services, and that's something that has been established and has been proven to work over the past. Public invitation. We taught on why we have a public invitation, because that's something that is going by the wayside in even some so-called Baptist churches. And if you lose your Baptist distinctives, take your name Baptist off. Amen? Don't advertise something that you're not. And you say, preacher, a lot of churches, a lot of Baptist churches are changing their names. I hate it because I know what's taking place, but if they're not Baptist, don't advertise Baptist. Let's advertise what we are. And that's why we, you know, call ourselves and identify ourselves with an independent fundamental Baptist. And so public invitation is one of the things that we find that is given in the scriptures. Anytime Christ taught, he would give an opportunity for a response. And God wants a response when he speaks. And we'll even find that tonight in part of a response. But public invitation. And then last Sunday, we preached on bus ministry and why we have a bus ministry. And I trust that if you weren't here last Sunday night, get that tape and listen to that, because you need to know that you are a part of a church that has a heart to reach children. And we have a ministry here to reach those that cannot come on their own. And Jesus, it was the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring the children unto him, that he might bless them and they would be raised to learn about him. And it's first of all the parents' responsibility and accountability. But if the parents will not, then second of all, it is the church's responsibility and the church's accountability that we will one day give an account for. So why we have a bus ministry? Well, all that, we've gone over several of the different things. Tonight, we're going to be looking at why do people say amen? I've had people say that from time to time. When they visit the church, why is it that you have people in the congregation when you're preaching shouting amen? And why do we use that word so often? Well, I trust that when you read the passage of Scripture tonight, our text, that you'll have a little bit more insight into that. And so if you'll stand with me, then and we'll read Deuteronomy chapter 27. Moses was giving God's instructions to his people. And this would be right before they would enter into the promised land. This was the generation that would have faith to go into the promised land. And so Moses addresses them once he knew that they had the faith to go in, and God instructed Moses to present this. And so starting in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 9. And Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Now, they were always God's people, but he is referring to now that they're in agreement with God and they have faith. And though this is a covenant that they're making going in by faith into the promised land. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when ye are come over Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben and Gad and Asher and Zebulun and Dan and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that setteth light by his father, his mother. And all the people shall say, amen. When they hear the word of God and what God is proclaiming, whether a blessing or cursing, knowing it's the word of God and God's message, all the people shall answer and say, amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, fatherless and widow, And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for opportunity to be in church once again tonight. Thank you for opportunity to learn from your word. Just why we do what we do as a church. And I pray, God, as we learn this, that we would be strengthened by it and supportive of it. I just pray that you meet with us tonight. Help us to have the better understanding of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. From time to time, you'll hear me saying, all the people said. And you answer, amen. That's exactly what they're doing here. That's where that comes from. That's Bible. They were to hear the commandments of God. And they were to say, Amen. When people ask me, why do people say amen in the service? My response is usually they're just following scripture. I'll help them to try to understand it's Bible. That's how God would have us to respond to his word. I tell people it is the most biblical way to respond to God in a worship service. The most biblical way, because if you study the scriptures, you'll find that that's how the people responded. And if you find here, as the people were to go into the promised land, and they would, by faith, go into the promised land, this is a new generation, a generation of God's children that are going to have faith in God and trust in him and to go forward and to do what God has told them to do. And as they went in, they would have to understand exactly what was God's will for them in the promised land. And so God had them stand up and they would hear the truths of God, and the people, when they would hear these truths, whether it be a blessing or a cursing on what God, how God would deal with them, when they would hear this to be the word of God, then they would respond with an amen. The definition of amen is mainly so be it. But it also is when we say amen, we're agreeing with that and say not only so be it, but that's right. And sometimes you'll have people that will say, that's right, preacher. And they will respond in different ways. Myself, I would just prefer them to use the amen, because that's really what you're saying is, that's right, preacher. You know, that's right. That's what the Bible, that is scripture. That's what the Bible says. And so by saying amen, you're saying that's right, so be it, but you're using a scriptural response. It means God grant this thing that we have requested as well. As we pray, we end our prayers with amen. God, this is, grant this. Lord, I trust that this prayer is found to be in your will, and we're asking you to grant this request. And so we end our prayers with, in Jesus' name. And an amen. Some say, well, I just don't believe you should do that. I've had people tell me that. And my response to them is, why? You asked me why we do it, and I gave you a biblical response. Now give me a biblical response and why we shouldn't. (Laughter) And most of the time, why people do not want to respond and they don't want to hear somebody else respond to the message by saying an amen, especially out loud, is because that's not the way we did it in our church. That's not how I was taught. That's not how I was raised. That is not the type of service that I'm familiar with. And I understand that. I really do. I understand that. But if we're wanting to have a biblical church and we're wanting to have a biblical response, then the most biblical way to respond to the truth of God is based upon how God wanted His people and instructed His people to respond. And that is to say, amen. The amen in the Old Testament is the very same amen in the New Testament. And you'll find it throughout the scriptures. You'll find this word amen and amen all through it. But in this particular passage of scripture that we read, I think it best helps us to understand why it was that God said to the people and all the people, God says, I want every one of you to say amen, because I want to know and I want you to know that you're in agreement with what thus saith the Lord. You need to know that you're in agreement. Everyone around you needs to know that you're in agreement. And by you responding the way that God would have them to respond, it was an agreement that everybody was aware of. And it helped everyone to know that I'm saying amen because I'm in agreement with God. Amen. And what God has just revealed to me. I believe if God liked it in the Old Testament, He likes it in the New Testament. And we'll see some things in the New Testament in a minute. But more than anything else, it's the most biblical way to respond. With that, I want to let you know that I do not believe that clapping is sinful. I've had people go from the service and they say, well, that preacher out there at Lighthouse Baptist Church, they believe that clapping in services is just plain sinful. And my response to that is, I've never said that. I've never taught that. The truth of it is, there's some good churches that will applaud specials. Now, I don't know of good churches that will applaud the preaching. When you hear something, somehow or another, that just doesn't seem to fit in, right? But with the same thought of applauding, and they say that they're acknowledging God and applauding God, because surely you're not applauding entertainment. In the world, you clap because you're applauding entertainment. At the church, no one that comes to this platform is coming up here to entertain you. If that's on their mind, if that's what they're looking to do, if I know about it, they'll not sing another special. They'll not sing in the choir. Because the church is all about ministry. And what we bring to this platform is that will minister to people. That will exalt Christ. And so the clapping, even though it's not sinful, it is not the most biblical way to respond. Some good churches will use that in clapping, and I understand, and I've never really been in a church that has done a lot of that, but I understand that from time to time they have some people get upset because the people didn't applaud my special as much as they applauded somebody else's special. And again, if you have that mentality, you're not thinking clearly when you stand before the congregation to sing a special. When I stand before the congregation to preach the Word of God, I have bathed myself in the Word of God, and I have cried out to God to use me as an instrument in His hand to bring forth truth, to be a help and a blessing to the people, to something that would exalt Christ in their lives. And I trust that those who sing specials on this platform, they do the very same thing. They are in prayer about that. And when they come to this platform, they are not wanting to be acknowledged by the clapping of the hands. They want you to acknowledge God working through them And when they're finished, an amen is more of a biblical way to respond in a worship service to somebody that has been used by God to bring to you a blessing and a truth from God. But again, some good churches will use the clapping of the hands in certain times in their services. And can I tell you, if I'm a part of that particular service, sometimes I'll go to a pastor's conference, a church is hosting that, the church is used to clapping after the specials. You know, I'm not going to be a stick in the mud, and I'm not going to try to convert the church to do a different thing or do a different way. Most of the time, I will go ahead and just acknowledge with the rest of the congregation their way of showing appreciation for a special. In my mind, it's saying amen. In my mind, I'm doing that, say so be it. But I will not try to distract from what has taken place, nor will I try to hinder a church in our worship service. But when it comes to this Lighthouse Baptist Church, we have chosen to use the amen because it is the most biblical way to respond. Look with me to Psalms in chapter 47. How can you say clapping is sinful? It's not. We'll be more apt to clap over a children's special because they're actually in training to fully understand what's taking place. And we know there's been a lot of hard work, and if we want to applaud their hard work and time, that's possibly something different. But in a worship service, and when we are looking to draw closer to God, I think the amen is the most biblical way. But in Psalms in chapter 47, the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loveth. We're saying they're exalting Christ here. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto the King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen. God setteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belongeth unto God. He is greatly exalted. And in exalting God here, we find that they said, clap your hands. Clap your hands. So it's not that clapping your hands is sinful. So don't be scared off if in a worship service there's somebody that claps their hands after a special. Don't reach over and say, we don't do that here. No, that's not why we do it. We're not going to do that. We are going to show by the response of the majority of the members of the church, we're going to say amen because that's how we have chosen to respond in a worship service. I'm going to go a little bit farther here. Don't get scared off even if you see someone from time to time raise their hand. Somebody raised their hand in the service, and I see people gasp. Did you see that? Psalms chapter 63. Psalms chapter 63. Can I tell you, raising your hand is biblical too? It is. Psalms chapter 63. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Wow, he's praising the Lord. He's responding to God, acknowledging God, glorifying God, and he would raise his hand. First Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 8, God says, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So clapping, it's not sinful. It's found in the scriptures. Even from time to time, raising a hand is not sinful. It's found in scripture. Now, one of the reasons that we have chosen to use the amen more than any other way to respond in a worship service is because what we are battling in society as well, and what we're battling in so-called religion today, the charismatic crowd. The charismatic crowd that really don't understand, and they want to work themselves up. Their music and their services are geared to working themselves up in the flesh, and in the flesh, doing these types of things. And not only raising their hands, but they'll run down the aisles and they'll do different things. I was scared off. I dated a girl one time that I went to church with, Pentecostal, and I thought, my goodness, what in the world is taking place here? And of course, everybody come around me and wanted me to speak in tongues and laying hands, and I'm thinking, get me out of this place. And we'll find in a minute that that's what the Bible talks about, how that is wrong, because many times that's what happens. People are scared off and they don't understand what's taking place. And so, even in this church one time, we had a man, and can I tell you, the Spirit of God works in our services. He really does. And we're used to it, and we know when God works in our lives, sometimes we have an unction, if you will, to want to stand and just shout and raise our hands and do whatever, run the aisles maybe even sometimes. But we are bringing the flesh under control, and we are controlling that and just saying amen. But thank you, God, for what I'm experiencing. Thank you, God, for if you've not been raised and you've not been taught those things that we need to bring the flesh and the body under subjection, then you'll let the flesh control your worship. And you can get out of control there. In one service, we had a guy who had come forward, and he come forward with his hands raised, and he come down here and he wanted to speak in tongues and doing all kinds of stuff. And it was quite a bit of a distraction. And so I had this man removed. And the whole time he was being removed, he was shouting, Lord, why are they doing this to me? Lord, why are they doing this to me? And the reason why is he sensed something. He felt the Spirit of God, and he didn't know how to react to it. And he responded the way that he had been taught. He responded the way in the flesh. But that's a distraction. And that takes away from what we're looking to do here. We want everybody to fully understand what takes place in this church. One of the easiest things to understand is amen. One of the easiest things to understand, and that will keep order in the church, amen, so that we can accomplish what we're here to accomplish, is amen. And if you're really, something really is working in your heart, every now and then you just gotta, every now and then you'll see me up here, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, you know, and that's all right. We don't promote the clapping of the hands, and we don't promote the raising of the hands. Not that that's because it's sinful, not because it's not biblical. It's because the most biblical way to respond. And that's what I want us to get a hold of. That's what we've always tried to do, is responding in services and worship when God speaks to us. What is the best way that we can respond that would be able to minister to all that are in the services? And not think of this as a charismatic type of a ministry that is confused on a lot of different things. And what is promoted and what is the most biblical way to respond as studying the scriptures is with the amen. Now, a few things about the amen. The amen was said after the word of the law was stated. He didn't wait till all of it completed and then everybody said, no, after every law, after every truth that was stated, God said, I want you to be in agreement with each one. And all the people said. And he would have them all in agreement say, amen. Nehemiah chapter 8. In Nehemiah chapter 8, I think God gives us this chapter because this is probably the closest thing to a New Testament worship service that we can find in Scripture. Nehemiah chapter 8, and of course they had just found the Word of God, and God had them bring it out, build a platform of wood. The preacher would stand and preach the Word. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 5, it says this, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up." And that's one of the reasons we stand when we read the Scriptures. It's an honoring and respect of the Scriptures. "And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered." There it is again. Amen. And amen. Sometimes we want to have a double amen. A double amen's a good thing. "With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." And Jeshua, I'm sorry, now drop down to the verse 8. It says, "So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." The most important thing that they would get out of that worship service is to understand the Word of God. To understand it. That's why they were there. To acknowledge God, to worship God, and to understand what God had for them. So as we look to use the amen, and again, the other, I'm not going to be scared by somebody clapping or by somebody raising a hand. But as a church, we've chosen to use the amen because it's the most biblical way to respond, and it keeps the order in the church, and it focuses the attention on the truth that is being preached. So as we are focusing on the truth that is being preached, we need to listen and know what you are to amen. Now, from time to time, we'll have somebody that doesn't understand that. And they're amening every word. And from time to time over the years, I've had to go to certain individuals and say, let me help you to understand the amen and how we use it. Before you say it, know what you're amening. Before you use that, and because the last thing we want to do is to bring attention to ourselves or distract from what we're here to do, and that is to receive what God has for us. And so before you say amen, listen first of all. Listen to what the preacher is saying. Listen to what the special is presenting. And when the message is being presented and it's something that God uses to speak to you, it's something that is of a truth, then use the amen as God wants us to use the amen and say amen. But don't just say amen just to draw attention to yourself. And definitely do not say amen to where it's a distraction to what is being preached. Amen. There it is. I mean, this is something. It is what God would have us to do and how we're to use that. 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. In the early church, it was transitioning from the apostolic age, okay, until after they had the completed of the Word of God. And God, the speaking in tongues and certain of the sign and wonders were done away with the perfecting of the Word of God. And so this early churches would have problems with that. And Paul addresses that in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. And he says in verse 15, "What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also." The understanding also. "I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also." What you're doing in the congregation, what you're doing in the church, make sure that what we're doing, we're understanding what we're doing. "Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. Verse 19, he says, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And so what we're looking to do is exalt the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And as we're exalting the God Himself and exalting His Word and preaching His Word, let's understand it. And as we understand it, let's show an agreement and a support of it by saying simply, so be it. Amen. Wow. Because of personalities, some will be more vocal than others. And I'm fine with that. I believe all should say amen. But I know that some personalities and some people, they're never going to say amen out loud. And if that's your personality and that's who you are, that's fine. But inside, you ought to be saying amen. Inside, you need to be understanding what is being presented. And as you understand that, when you know that it's in alignment with the very words of God and the truth of God, inside of your own heart, inside of your own spirit, you ought to be saying what God wants you to say. So be it. Amen. I agree with that. That's true. And so if everybody understands that is the most biblical way to respond, and we are responding that way, it's not going to be a hindrance to you when somebody says it out loud. Matter of fact, you might even bring a smile to your face and thinking, I'm glad somebody said it out loud. Can I tell you, as a preacher, I enjoy hearing amens. I know it's the most biblical way to respond. And when you're saying amen, that helps me to know that you're with me. You know, one of the best ways to stay awake in church services? Say amen. That's right. But say amen in a biblical way. What do you mean? Listen to understand. And when you're listening to understand, it's going to be automatic, the Spirit of God working in you to say amen. Because His Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And when that has taken place in a worship service, makes you happy. I've preached on this morning. Brings a smile to your face. See, the reality of God, the presence of God working in our midst. How can you not be happy and be filled with joy when you experience God working in a worship service? That's right. You know why? You go to some churches and some Baptist churches, they're preaching the truth and they're presenting what's, but they have no excitement, no. And no one is responding. That makes for a dead service. Especially when the preacher doesn't want you to respond. Sad when the preacher falls asleep when he's preaching. You know, that's just. I preach for a response. I preach something I know that God has for me to present, and I know if God has for me to present it, then He wants to apply it to the lives of those that are hearing it. And when those that are hearing it receive what God has for them, I think it is a natural response in a worship service for the Spirit to bear witness with your spirit and get you to respond by, even if it's not outwardly, inwardly, with a thank you, Lord, amen. Yeah. The amen in the New Testament. Some things that we all, and I'm real brief here. There's many things throughout the whole scriptures, but I want to show you a couple spots. I think it's important that we understand that God put an amen there for us in this King James Version, Word of God, what God has given to us. I believe every amen in the Bible was inspired by God. I really do. In Matthew chapter 28, we find after the Great Commission was given, the work of the church, the instruction of God, the plan of the New Testament church, all Christians to go into all the world, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Ghost, just acknowledging the Trinity of God. And then teaching them, that is, discipling them, to observe all things, whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And a big hearty amen. Oh, how we ought to amen the preaching of the gospel. How we ought to amen preaching of outreach, soul winning, discipleship. Salvation truths, the work that God's called us to do. Wow, when that's being presented in our hearts, we ought to say, more people need to hear that. More people need to hear that we're here to reach the world. Instead of developing a club, an activity center, or the church. Amen to that. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 15 and 16. We should amen these things. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. How can you not, when you hear that truth about Jesus Christ, how can you not shout with the scriptures and say, amen? When we're presenting the person of Jesus Christ and we're exalting who he is and what he is, how can you not be in agreement with that in his church? How can you not say inside of you, if not out loud, amen? It's right there in the Bible. It's right there in the scriptures. And lastly, we even preached on this as we was going through the book of Revelation. But Revelation chapter 22, the very last book, last chapter, the last couple verses. We should amen the coming of Christ. He which testified these things surely, saith, surely I come quickly. John could not withhold himself. I believe that God allowed him, inspired him to go ahead and say, after Jesus says, surely I come quickly, amen. I'm in agreement with that. Even so, come Lord. Lord Jesus. And he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the Bible ends, the very last word of the Word of God is one we ought to get familiar with, one that we ought to use. Amen. Amen. But somebody ask you, why does your church use the amen? I hope you'll say, let me tell you. Let me share some things with you. If you don't remember everything, remember this, because it's Bible. And it's the most biblical way to respond in a worship service. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. Praise the Lord for the amen. There's so much more in the scriptures about it. I mean, it's found throughout the Bible, the amen. Don't be afraid to use it. As long as you use it as God would have you to. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that we can truly understand why we do what we do and be blessed by it. I pray that our congregation, our people, no doubt, would understand and be blessed by the amen. Work now and bless in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.